Sanchez Castro versus Arlington County Schools. Mr. Barbara?
Yes, sir.
And Mr. Seymour?
Yes, sir.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Good afternoon. I'd like to reserve maybe 3 minutes.
All right, sir. You may proceed.
Thank you. May it please the court, my name's Timothy Barbro. I represent Amparo Sanchez Castro on this appeal from the decision of the Workers' Compensation Commission to reverse the determination or the award made by the Deputy Commissioner. The issue that's before this court on appeal is whether Ms. Sanchez's injury, whether there was evidence, sufficient evidence to prove that her injury arose out of her employment. There's no question that the injury occurred during the course of her employment. She was an elementary school custodian.
In the bottom line, whether she slipped on the wet floor?
Basically, that's it. Whether
and,
it's
and,
a,
the, and the commissioner said she did.
Well, the deputy commissioner found that she had. The full commission found that said that it was an unexplained accident, that it fell in line with that. It was in line with those line of cases from this court that hold that an unexplained accident is not sufficient to establish that an injury arose out of her employment. But this is not an unexplained accident. This is a case where Ms. Sanchez, I would suggest to the court or argue to the court that the evidence established at the hearing establishes as a matter of law that this arose out of her employment. There's her testimony. She testified that she was cleaning, that she was sweeping, that she grabbed a broom, that the floor was wet, that she made a sudden movement with the broom, and it was at that point that she slipped and grabbed onto the sink, which then resulted in the rotator cuff tear to her right shoulder. So it's not an unexplained accident. She explained exactly how it occurred. She, at the evidentiary hearing before the deputy commissioner, she actually demonstrated to the deputy commissioner what she was doing at the time of the accident, before the accident, at the time of the accident, and subsequent to the accident. So it's certainly not an unexplained accident. You know, if a court looks at the cases that deal with this issue, one of the cases is the case of Memorial Hospital v. Harrison. In that case, you had a cleaning lady.
Mr. Barbro, can I interrupt you because your time goes by so fast here and just ask you, you know, reading the commission's opinion after I read the deputy commissioner's opinion, numerous places in there, usually on direct exam or redirect exam, when asked questions, she would say things like, when I was sweeping the water, I don't know what happened. I lost control. Then she talked about, after attempting to demonstrate how it occurred, I don't know how it happened. If I lost control and went up against the sink and I tried not to fall by getting a hold of the sink with my hand. On cross-exam, she was very clear, I wasn't dizzy, so forth. But then on redirect again, she said, I just don't know how it happened, but I lost control. And so as I start to fall, I grab the sink with my hand. What are we to make of her saying over and over again when her attorney is questioning her, I don't know how it happened?
Well, I think that you, when you make of that, is you have to look at it in the totality of the circumstances. First of all, while she's not articulating the precise reason why she fell, she's explaining the circumstances that surrounded that fall, what she was doing at the time, the movements, the water on the floor, all of those things she's going into great detail, and it was consistent from her deposition testimony right up through her testimony at the hearing. You also, I think that the court can take into consideration some other factors such as her limited education, her limited English, ability to speak English, all of that's in the record.
Who takes that into consideration, this court or the commission?
Well, I think this court can certainly take it into consideration when you're determining whether or not the totality of the circumstances are such that she's established that this arose. Because what we're doing here is we're looking at her, and I would suggest to the court that the precise inability to articulate the exact reason for the fall under this court's previous holdings, does not disqualify her from an award of benefits. And the case that I think this case is on all fours, I believe, with Basement Waterproofing versus Beelin. And in that case, you had a gentleman who was on a ladder, and he was unable to specifically describe what, although he, and this is this court's language, although claimant did not recall the specific moment of falling, he described his actions and locations immediately before the fall in detail. And so the same thing, he couldn't explain exactly why he fell off that ladder, but he described what he was doing immediately before falling and the actions that he was undertaking. That's exactly what she did in this case.
Well, she, medical report on the day after the accident said claimant felt dizzy, grabbed the broom, and hit the sink. You agree with that?
That's what the medical records from that day did say.
And your whole theory is that she slipped while mopping, she slipped on the water and fell.
Yes.
All right. Was there any, did she ever say that she slipped on the water and fell?
Did she? And she never used that precise language, Your Honor.
Tell me what she came closest to if she didn't use that precise language.
Well, when she was questioned in the, Judge. She talked about in her deposition testimony that was admitted into evidence. She talked about, did your knees buckle or bend? She said yes, a lot. The floor was wet. And so she's talking about what happened and the floor being wet. I think that the closest thing that she came when to describing that the slip and the fall, if you want to use that language, was when she, and again, she repeatedly talked about what happened, what were you doing at the moment this occurred. And she testified repeatedly, she grabbed a broom, she made a very quick movement with the broom on the wet floor, and she lost her balance. Did she actually say that she slipped? No. But she did describe what she was doing, again, just like in the case in Beelin. He couldn't articulate exactly why he fell off that ladder.
But the statement in the medical records that she felt dizzy, grabbed the broom, and hit the sink, isn't that inconsistent with saying that she slipped on the water?
It is, but she was asked repeatedly about that statement at the hearing, and she denied that she was dizzy at the time. I mean, so there she addressed that
specifically.
That's
a question of credibility.
It's a question of credibility, but I would suggest to the court, number one, that that's not what the commission based its decision upon when it said that she had failed to explain the accident. And secondly, there was no medical testimony or medical evidence introduced by the employer which showed any type of medical condition that she had. So I would suggest that in order to say that there was a medical condition which could have resulted in that fall is pure speculation. And again, she specifically rebutted that.
If the fact finder, though, finds, he doesn't have to find that there's a medical condition, but if he, or in this case, the commission finds that it's unexplained, then how do we look behind that as the fact finder? Because he doesn't have to find another reason just if it's unexplained.
But again, this is, I think you have to look back at the previous cases that have been decided by this court. And I mean, another case is City of Waynesboro versus Virginia Municipal Group Self-Insurance Association. In that case, the gentleman is climbing out of the truck. He places his left foot down, then he places his right foot down, and he falls. And he can't explain specifically why it is that he fell. But the commission looked at the test, which again, in order to establish it, it arose out to satisfy the arising out of prong of the compensability test. The claimant had to prove that there is,
you're referring to went to this court, didn't it?
Yes.
And what did this court say?
He couldn't recall the circumstances of the fall. In that case, this court held that found that the awkward position that he was in, the fact that he was descending, the fact that there was a rusty wooden step there, that those were all circumstances that would, that it's not unexplained, that the, you know, that a rational mind could, from the inferences, draw that that arose out of the course of his employment. And that's the argument here, that if you look at the totality of these circumstances, what she described happened, the wet floor, all of those things, her precise inability to say the magic words, I slip and fell, when she has a fifth grade education and speaks limited English, that, when you look at the totality of the circumstances, it is clear that her injury in this case arose out of her employment.
I wanted to ask you on that, because I almost was looking for if there was an argument about, because she said so many times, I lost control, I don't know what happened. Whether that was, and of course, we're getting this through the translator, right? Her
yes.
answers. Whether that's some sort of idiom, or, you know, just a colloquialism or a word that she just happens to use a lot in her native language, and then it's translated into English, but I didn't see an argument as to that, explaining why she said that so many times, because perhaps it occurred to me, either maybe, as you say, maybe she's not really articulate because of her educational background, or maybe it's a problem with the translation or some idiomatic expression.
Well, and Your Honor, when and that's why I ask her to demonstrate for the deputy commissioner, you know, show the deputy commissioner what you were doing, the actions that you were taking, and how it is that you fell. And she gave a physical demonstration of grabbing the broom, making a sweeping turn, a rapid sweeping turn on a wet floor, and that resulted in her fall. I mean, that's, so when she wasn't able to actually say that precisely, but she demonstrated it, and she certainly gave testimony and evidence about the factual circumstances surrounding it. And I know I'm approaching the 3 minutes.
Can I just ask you this, though? But, I mean, I understand her English was limited, but why is it hard to say the floor was wet and I just slipped on it?
I can't explain why she didn't say that. I don't know why the gentleman in Breland couldn't say, you know, I was stretching over from my ladder with the bucket of tar and I lost my balance and I fell. He didn't articulate that either. But this court looked at that and the commission looked at that and said, you know, to a rational mind.
I'm trying to remember in Breland, did the commission find that it was compensable?
Yes.
I mean, isn't that the difference? And also in the city of Waynesboro, in those cases, we were affirming the fact finder. Here, you're asking us to reverse the fact finder on causation.
Well, and the fact finder who reversed the fact finder who heard the hearing.
But you know, our case law says that we have to consider the commission as fact finder unless they've arbitrarily ignored the deputy commissioner saying, and I observed the testimony and the way it was said to me makes me think that, you know.
Well, and that's what happened in this case. The deputy and the dissenting commissioner pointed that out, that you ignored the deputy commissioner's observation of her physical demonstration of what happened, which caused this accident. And so they did. But nevertheless, I think that when you look at the totality of the evidence here, it's clear that this injury arose out of her employment. Thank you.
Thank you. You have about a minute and a half left. All right, sir.
Good afternoon. May it please the court. I'm Douglas Seymour. I represent the appellees in this matter.
It's no question she had a very bad injury here, right? And it hasn't been largely repairable after surgery. It's a tremendous amount of permanent disability still left.
I refer to my learned opponent as her present condition. I think she's coming along.
The deputy commissioner in his dissent refers to the question to her. Thank you. How close to falling down did you come? I just grabbed it. I did not end up falling. Did your knees bend or buckle? Yes, a lot. The floor was wet. why isn't that enough for the commission to have found that she said, despite her language difficulties, that she fell because the floor was wet?
Full commission correctly held that it was not a reasonable inference. I took the claimant's deposition, and we had the use of a professional interpreter. There was a professional interpreter at the hearing. At the very end of the hearing, Deputy Commissioner Stevick asked the claimant, sui sponte, was the floor wet? Claimant said yes. She asked the claimant if the floor was wet. The claimant said yes. She then turned to counsel and said, did that prompt any more questions from counsel? And we both said no. At no time during her deposition testimony or her hearing testimony, and those took place over the course of more than 4 months in between, did she ever testify or state that the wet floor had played any role whatsoever in her beginning to fall?
Why isn't that a reasonable inference? She's mopping the floor. The floor is wet. She turns around and trips or falls and injures herself. Isn't it a reasonable inference that the wet floor caused her to fall?
In this case, Your Honor, I don't believe it is. If the facts of this case have been similar to the Lake House case, which was court held, issued some 11 years ago, that was a case where the claimant had consistently said there was something slippery on the floor. I don't know exactly why I fell, but the floor was wet or slippery. And this court later affirmed that opinion as saying that was a reasonable inference. Here, we have no testimony from this witness where she ever testified that the condition of the floor played any role in her beginning to fall. And as she began to fall, that's when she grabbed the sink with her arm. So in answer to your question, Your Honor, no, it's not a reasonable inference, and I think the full commission properly held that. I'd also like to address, and this goes to Commissioner Marshall's dissent, where he talks about, and Judge Beals, you raised the issue about her language difficulties and her educational background. And I firmly believe she was quite capable. And I will say this on the record, I think she's one of the most candid claimants I've ever dealt with in doing this for many, many years. Her testimony, her version never changed from the time I took her deposition right through the hearing. I don't think it takes a formal education to testify credibly how you started to fall, what made you fall. And as far as the language issue, Your Honor, we had professional interpreters at both her deposition and the commission provided it at the hearing. And I think those two elements have been fully addressed here.
So it's not your view, having observed it, and I know you're counsel for Appley, but it's not your view that I don't know what happened was just something that in her native Spanish that she tends to say a lot.
Yeah, she was, during her deposition, I asked her more than once if you could explain what happened. And during the hearing, four times she had the opportunity to tell the commission how she felt, what her wet made her begin to fall. And four times she said she didn't know. And I think that's, in this case, it was not a reasonable inference for the deputy commissioner to have found that the wet floor caused her to fall.
Is it your position that even if, and I know you don't concede that, but even if it was a reasonable inference to believe that she slipped on the wet floor, the fact that she never made any mention of a slippery floor would certainly not allow that inference to continue? I mean, she specifically never, when she had the opportunity, she specifically never said that the floor was slippery. So that would end the inference if there was one.
Yes, or as in the Lake House case, if she had said, I don't know what it is, and this court has held, you don't have to, claimants do not have to specifically give the reason for the fall, but there must be something there, something to tie it to the employment situation at the time. And in this case, when given the opportunity, she didn't. Lake House case is distinguishable, and I cited in our brief, because that claimant consistently said, I don't know exactly why I fell, but the floor was slippery. She didn't even know if it was water or what the substance was, if I remember correctly. And I think the court in that case found it was a reasonable inference to find that the slippery floor led to her accident. In this case, we do simply don't have that. And this claimant was given multiple opportunities to explain what role, if any, the wetness.
Do we know the nature of the floor, whether it was linoleum or whether it was concrete or whatever?
I believe it was a tile floor. It was a kitchen floor.
Okay.
I think that came out in the deposition testimony.
Okay, thank you.
I may be wrong, but...
Mr. Barbaro has made raised the I think it's the Beelin case, with the gentleman fell off, the claimant fell off the ladder, and he knew he fell, he knew what he was doing when he fell, but he doesn't know exactly why he fell at the time. How would you distinguish that case from this one?
Well, to begin with, Your Honor, we have a claimant who's already up a ladder, so there's risk.
But I haven't read the case recently, but didn't he have buckets in his hand?
I believe he did, Your Honor, and I had a similar case, which was denied because the claimant couldn't explain why. And in this case, there was enough facts laid that a reasonable inference could be made that, but for the fact that he was up on that ladder with things in his hands, that it led to the accident. Getting back to the case before the court, she started to fall, she grabbed herself, and candidly, truthfully testified repeatedly she didn't know why she started to fall. She never did. Luckily, she never hit the ground, but she injured her shoulder anyway. So this case simply lacks enough factual distinguishment from that case to allow the court, to find that there's a reasonable inference that the wet floor somehow played a role when she began to slip.
And I think in the Beelin case, the commission awarded compensation, right?
Yes, Your Honor. That's my understanding. So I believe I've made my major points to the court. This case could have been distinguished from Lake House had we had the same factual scenario, which we don't. It was not a reasonable inference for the deputy commissioner to find that the water played a role, and therefore the full commission properly reversed her decision. Her education and her not speaking English as a primary language was not a difficulty, as Commissioner Marshall put in his dissent, for her to be able to have explained it, and that I thought Commissioner Marshall did a very good analysis of the Massey decision, which goes back quite a few years, which in general holds that claimant can't rise above his or her own testimony. But Commissioner Marshall goes on to distinguish that you can look at other factors, assuming they're not totally speculative, which we get into. And what Commissioner Marshall then goes on to say is that the difficulties here were her limited education and her language, which I believe I've already addressed, but we don't think they're, in this case, be able to describe why you begin to fall or difficulties or impediments. So we would respectfully ask that the court affirm the full commission.
Court, have any questions?
No, thank you.
No,
thank you, Mr.
questions.
Seymour.
Thank you, Ron.
Mr. Barbaro.
Thank you, Your Honor. Judge, I just want to go back to the Breedland case for 1 second and quote a little bit out of that. In Breedland, we affirmed the commission's award of benefits, although the employee could not remember how he was injured, nor could he specifically describe the last discrete event
that led to his fall. We held that the accident was not unexplained. In Beeland, as in this case, the commission made specific factual findings regarding the circumstances surrounding the claimant's fall. There, the claimant's duty required him to stretch half the length of his body away with a ladder to apply tar. He was unable to hold onto the ladder for support because he had a 20 to 30 pound block of tar in one hand and a glove to apply the tar in the other. Immediately prior to his fall from the ladder, the employee was trying to stretch out to the side half his body. These facts, although this claimant did not recall the specific moment of falling, he described his actions and locations immediately before the fall in detail. That evidence, combined with other circumstances, created the critical link between the claimant's employment and his fall and resulting injury. There is no other reasonable inference here that can be drawn from these facts but that her injury arose out of her employment. She described and she demonstrated in great detail what she was doing, and I don't think, I mean, she's sweeping a floor, it's a wet floor, she makes a rapid turn, and she loses her balance. There's only one reasonable inference as to what occurred there. There is no other inference that can be drawn but that she was injured in her accident.
Thank you, Mr. Barber. The time is up. We'll recounsel and take up the last matter on the docket, Butler versus